Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, is everybody else here or somewhere else? Yeah, I know, but the rest of them, are they? Where are they? There's only eight of us here, beside me. Nine. Okay. Tadeva spashti tum tatranu mani dvai vidyam ahu yasya gunat prakashate yena va gunat prakashata iti. To make this more easily understood, what we're trying to make understood is that if the Lord did not manifest his personal form in the spiritual pure mode of goodness, then self-realization can only be would be incomplete. It would basically be a material realization, although in the material mode of goodness it is possible to infer, to deduce logically the existence of God, but you can't actually perceive him, perceive his experience, or see him by the material mode of goodness. So how, and we discussed that the material mode of goodness is two ways of understanding how the material mode of goodness, there's two arguments. One is, the word bhavet is in the verse. Satvam cha dhatur idam nijam bhavet. Satvam na che dhatur idam nijam bhavet. If this sattva was not there, bhavet. But bhavet can be understood two ways. If it wasn't present, or wasn't, let's say, made visible, and if it wasn't, or the other meaning is if it didn't exist at all. So one idea is that the Lord doesn't have, as the Mayavadis say, there is no spiritual mode of goodness. The modes are just material. The modes are Maya, according to the Mayavadis. Goodness is Maya. There's no perfect goodness, according to the Mayavadis. So they are saying that this so-called Vishuddha Sattva doesn't exist as anything beyond material sattva. The other idea is, the Lord has his spiritual nature in the spiritual world, and he displays his spiritual body there. But what if he never came to the material world, and this spiritual nature was never made visible in the spiritual world? Then people could only guess, could only use their logic and their imagination to try to understand God, because if he never actually showed himself in this world. That's the second way to interpret it. And there are two separate examples, one for each interpretation, which is the words that are being explained in 1022. There are two different ways that this, because there are two different ways that bhavet can be understood, therefore there are two different kinds of logic you can use to try to infer the existence of the Supreme Person. Yasya gunak prakashate, yena va gunak prakashate. Now the words gunak prakashate are not repeated in the verse. Guna prakashayar anumiyate bhavan. Prakashate yasya cha yena va guna. So the word yasya and cha yena va, those two alternatives are given, and you should apply both of them to guna prakashayar. Yasya guna prakashayar, or yena guna prakashayar prakashate, which we translate. To make this more easily understood, they describe, they is the demigods who are reciting these prayers, they describe the twofold method of this inference about him. One is in relation to whom the mode is manifest, and the other is by whom the mode is manifest. Now, what does that mean? In other words, okay, let me read the Sanskrit. Asvarupa bhuta syaiva prakrita sattvadi gunasya tvaravyabhichari sambanditva matrena va tvareka prakashyamanata matrena va tvalingatvam ityartaha. We did read this yesterday, but let's go over it again. In other words, the material mode of goodness, which does not belong to your essential being, can serve as a logical indication of your existence, either in terms of its being unfailingly connected to you, that's one, or else in terms of its being manifest exclusively from you. Okay. Yes. Can serve as a logical indication of your existence. Is that what you want me to read? Okay. Tvalingatvam. It has the property of tvalingatvam. The material mode of goodness has the property. Tvalingatvam is a property residing in material sattva. And it can, that property can work in two different ways. This sambandito matrena or prakashamanata matrena, in terms of it simply having a relationship, or in terms of it simply having a relationship with the personality of Godhead, or in terms of its being, revealing the personality of Godhead. The mode of goodness can serve to prove the presence, the existence of the personality of Godhead on the basis of its relationship, the relationship is a causal relationship. Sattva-gun can't exist unless it was created by the Supreme. So the Supreme must be there. The other argument is that sattvam yad brahmadarshanam, the mode of goodness does give some perception, some indirect perception of the Supreme. Brahmadarshanam, not Bhagavad darshanam, brahmadarshanam. Well, can I read more and see if it clarifies? Let me read the sentence again. In other words, the material mode of goodness, I know this is, we're being a little repetitive, but better to get it down carefully, even if we have to say things more than once. In other words, the material mode of goodness, which does not belong to your essential being, okay, can serve as a logical indication. You see, when the Lord shows himself directly, then we don't have to bother with this. It's when he doesn't show himself, if he didn't show himself, or if there was no spiritual mode of goodness, then all we could do is logically infer. And these are the two possible ways the inference could work. Can serve as a logical indication of your existence, either in terms of its being unfailingly connected to you. It is the material mode of goodness. It's unfailingly connected to you. That will be explained. Or else in terms of its being manifest. Oh, I'm sorry, I had it backwards. In terms of its being manifest exclusively from you. Not that you manifest, that it manifests you, but you manifest it. Now, do I have that right? Tvareka prakashyamanata. Yeah, because otherwise it would be Tvareka Prakashaka. It's the agent of, it would say Prakashaka. It is the agent of manifesting you. But here it is saying Prakashyamanata. It's being manifested by you. Potential participle. Passive. So the fact of its being manifested, I think I explained that in the commentary, what that means. There's still a little unclear what this relationship is and what this being manifested is. Let me see what I say here. Can I read the commentary? See if that explains it. Those not yet, I'm reading the commentary. Those not yet attuned to Vishuddhisattva because of lingering attachment to material goodness can still use their understanding of that sattva to know the Supreme Lord indirectly by logic. It's not that sattva, it's material sattva. Well, can I make a comment? I made a mistake there in that sentence. I'm talking about the wrong sattva. Okay, I fixed it. They can use two different lines of argument. First, the material sattva they are familiar with must originate in and belong to some cause of it. That's the relationship. It's a causal relationship. That cause must be beyond matter. We discussed this last time. Because there is no mode of material nature higher than sattva-guna. So sattva-guna, material sattva-guna, has to have a cause. And there's nothing else in material existence that could be its prior cause because nothing exists before it. There's nothing, other things exist at the same, came into being in, the other modes came into being at the same time or manifest at the same time, but there's nothing that was manifested materially or active in material existence before sattva-guna. So there's nothing in material existence that could be the cause of sattva-guna. It must have its cause outside, before the creation. That's one argument. Second, the material modes, although also connected with the Supreme as their original source, are not eternal, alive with consciousness or pleasure feeling. They do not know themselves or make themselves known as living beings can. In the words used in the demigod's prayer, they are not self-luminous. Okay, prakashyamana. They don't reveal themselves. They have to be revealed by something else. Because dead matter can't reveal itself. I gave argument to that. The light rays that bounce in your eye are not of themselves adequate to make this table perceptible. The light, there has to be an empowerment by the demigod, and that demigod has to be empowered by the Supreme Lord to make functional our faculty of sight. That's only by the super soul and the demigods. The Adibhautic. If the Adibhautic principle is not acting, then I'm blind. And all the light beams in the world can't be perceived. So dead matter cannot reveal itself. It must be revealed by something higher. That's the second argument. Show there must be this higher existence. This Vishuddhisattva, for two different reasons. The material sattva, that's okay, but it has to have a cause. And that cause can't be anything material. There must be a spiritual cause. That's Vishuddhisattva. And we are perceiving things in this world. Dead matter couldn't make itself perceivable. There must be a living force that gives life to our senses and makes them able to see. Now, the sentence I have here is, the material sattva-guna, therefore, can only be perceived by a higher illumination, which is the self-illuminating power of Vishuddhisattva. Is that okay? All right. right. So we read all this yesterday. We'll just move on to 23. Not yesterday, but the day before. But we'll just move on. Atra yeva shuddha sattvam nama prakritam eva rajastam akshunyam sattvam tatkaryam bhagavad vigrahadikam manyante te na kenapi anugrihita. Thus, those persons have not been favored by any good fortune. Kenapi te tu na ken api anugrihita. Kena can be masculine or neuter, but I took it to mean they haven't been favored by any good fortune. Haven't been favored by anything, is the way I took it. Those persons who have not been favored, those persons have not been favored by any good fortune, who consider the pure mode of goodness as material, as merely the mode of goodness without any passion or ignorance, and who consider the Lord, the Supreme Lord's body and other personal features to be produced from that material goodness. Damodar Prabhu? Why does he have to be out, absent? Well, ask him if what he's doing can't wait till after the class. We have free time today. We only have two classes. Okay. Rajak sambandha bhavena svatak. Can it be done after the class? Whatever it is. Okay. Rajak sambandha bhavena svatak prashanta svabhavasya sarvatro dasina ta kriti hetos tasya kshob akshamatvat. Okay. Looks like we have two reasons for why these people are unfortunate who think that Vishuddha sattva is just another, is just really material sattva. After all, since that material goodness has no connection with the mode of passion, and so its character is naturally pacific, and as it is the grounds for the disposition of total indifference, it cannot be agitated. Well, material mode of goodness can't be agitated. What does that mean? Vidya, I'll read the rest of the sentence. Vidya mayatvena yata vastita vastu prakashita matra dharmatvat tasya kalpantara yogyatvat cha. Because it is a product, I'm going to add a word and. I'm sorry, hold on a second. Making a note for a change. Add. And because it is a product of the potency of knowledge, that's sattva guna, its inseparable function is to simply reveal things as they are. Extrinsic conceptions, moreover, cannot be imposed on it. Now, what does that mean? The mode of goodness, we're trying to explain why the people who think there's no higher spiritual goodness, why they're unfortunate. Material goodness can't be agitated because it's actually has no connection with passion. And all it does is show things as they are. You can't impose any illusion on it. Extrinsic conception. Is that kalpana? Okay. You know what extrinsic means, right? Outside. So, material mode of goodness only shows things as they actually are. You can't impose some distorted view on it. Well, okay, I see. Material mode of goodness in real life is mixed with the mode of passion. It does get agitated. And it's not entirely isolated, so therefore we are seeing things as they are, supposedly, by the influence of the mode of goodness. But because at the same time, the same person who's viewing, who's thinking, is also being influenced by the lower modes, therefore his so-called sattvic perception gets distorted. It's always like that. There's always a mixture. But we're arguing here about that Vishuddha sattva just means sattva with no mixture. So that's what I don't make clear in the translation. We're not talking about material goodness in general, but about the special idea of material goodness, Vishuddha sattva, being material goodness unmixed. So we have to add the word unmixed. That unmixed material goodness, not just regular material goodness, but the special idea that, okay, Vishuddha sattva is mentioned in the Shastra. It has to mean, has to be something. We can't deny it because it's described in Shastra. The term is there. So we can give a materialistic explanation of Vishuddha sattva, that it's sattva without any mixture of passion and ignorance. But sattva without, if you actually had some pure sattva, just like, you know, there are trace elements. There's a little bit of, is there magnesium in the human body? There must be, magnesium. But if you take pure magnesium, extract magnesium and get one, say 5 grams of it, if you expose it to the air, it'll blow the whole building up. Magnesium is a very volatile chemical. So there's a problem. Theoretically you can, I've seen it. My chemistry teacher in sixth grade showed us a bottle, and it was in some liquid to protect it, of 5 grams of magnesium. And she said if we took it out of the bottle, it would blow the school up. Was it magnesium? Maybe it was sodium. Anyway, some molecule, element. Even if you could extract pure sattva gun, it would be problematic. Not that it would blow the world up, but it wouldn't be able to function like goodness. It couldn't become agitated, and you couldn't have any illusion imposed on it. If it's pure, then it should never do anything. Pure goodness won't ever do anything, won't ever undergo any change or activity. And also pure goodness should never fail to show perfect reality clearly, with no distortion. Okay, what's wrong with that? That would be great if we had such pure goodness. Except if you wanted to do something. If you wanted to do anything, then pure goodness wouldn't help you do it. But let's see how the argument continues. Let me see what I say in the commentary, because that doesn't... So what's the problem with pure goodness not being agitated, not being capable of agitated? Let me read the beginning of the commentary to try to explain this. Who would reject the idea of two different modes of goodness? That means a material one and a spiritual one. Who would reject that idea? Either a materialist who denies any transcendental nature of eternity, full knowledge, and bliss, or an impersonalist who claims that the world of dualities has no real existence and that sattva, even the sattva of Bhagawan, is an imposition of illusion on the formless reality. Yeah, because a sattva can mean the name of the mode, or it can be, in Nyaya, it means, if you look at it logically, it means the quality of existing. But even the quality of existing can't exist in Nirguna Brahman, according to the Mayavadis. It doesn't have any qualities. Even existence can't be, shouldn't be there. No quality should be there in the pure absolute. Anyway, but we mean by sattva here the mode of goodness. So the Mayavadis, the materialists deny that there's anything spiritual. The Mayavadis acknowledge spiritual existence, but deny that it's that the mode of goodness is there in the spiritual reality. So they don't. They can't. They also deny any spiritual sattva. Now, continuing, by the laws of material nature, any manifestation of unmixed goodness must be devoid of passion and ignorance. Sattva, if not untouched by rajas, that's backwards. Sattva, if not touched, or sattva, if untouched. Let me get rid of the double negative. Sattva, if untouched by rajas, cannot undergo change. And if untouched by tamas, it cannot show things as other than they actually are. Okay. Thus, there should be no possibility of illusion being imposed on it. Therefore, the personal form of God, okay, and this, the Bhagavatam is telling us, and also we can see equivalent statements in the Upanishads, that the Supreme Truth has a body made of Vishuddha Sattva. We can also dig up some Upanishadic statement saying that. Now, okay, but the personal form of God cannot be a product of unmixed goodness. Why not? Because for the materialists, God is only a hallucination of irrational people. Okay, it's an illusion, but pure goodness, just unmixed material goodness, can't have any illusion imposed on it. So you can't create God out of that unmixed material goodness. If God is an illusion. And for the impersonalists, the form of God must be a transformation of the formless original sattva and an appearance of it other than it as it really is. God is an illusion. Bhagawan, according to the theory of Shankaracharya, is also an evolution of illusion, avidya. When avidya, mixed with the mode of goodness, covers the entire Brahman, then you get Bhagawan, the personality of Godhead. He's the best illusion. He never makes any mistakes and his knowledge is complete, but he's an illusion, Saguna Brahman. So that involves a change. But if Vishuddha, if sattva that we're talking, that the Shastra is talking about, Vishuddha sattva, is just unmixed material goodness, it can't undergo any change. And so you can't, it can't evolve an illusion of God from Brahman. Not by just material goodness, by itself, unmixed. If it was mixed, then you might be able to do something. But the Shastra says it's Vishuddha sattva, unmixed. Okay, that explains the argument. Then continuing in the Sanskrit, tad uktam apya gocharasya gocharatve hetuhu prakriti gunak sattvam gocharasya bahurupatve rajaha bahurupasye turohitatve tamaha. In other words, the material mode of goodness can be described as the cause of the unperceived becoming perceived. Passion as the cause of the perceived being perceived with manifold variety. And ignorance as the cause of this manifold variety's disappearance. Tata paraspara dasina tve sattvam upakara tve sattvam apakara tve tamaha. Or similarly, goodness is the cause of things remaining indifferent to one another, passion of their helping one another, and ignorance of their damaging one another. apakaratvai tamah gocharatvadini stiti srishti samhara udasinatvadini cheti. The three events of becoming perceived and so on are the same as the processes of maintenance, creation, and destruction, and also are the same as this indifference and so on. These are the effects of each of the three modes. So the argument is being given that you cannot reinterpret Vishuddha Sattva, where it says in the Bhagavatam the demigods say, unless you want to say the demigods are all wrong and the Bhagavatam doesn't know what it's talking about. If you accept the authority of the statement, the authority of the demigods, and the authority of the Bhagavatam, they're saying that your body is Vishuddha Sattva, composed of Vishuddha Sattva. Now, if you want to argue that Vishuddha Sattva is not a separate spiritual mode, what is it? You argue, okay, it's material mode unmixed. But material mode unmixed can't manifest the form of the Supreme Person for these two arguments, for these two reasons. Is that okay? Two arguments? Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you. Because material mode of pure goodness could not be agitated, could not be made to change. Because you need influence of passion to make something change. And if we have only pure goodness, then there can't be any change. But according to the Mayavadis, Saguna Brahma has been changed. Nirguna Brahma has been changed into Saguna Brahman. Brahman has been changed into Bhagawan, according to the Mayavadis. And according to the materialists, what is it? Oh, the material mode of goodness. Oh, there's two problems. I'm sorry. I got that wrong slightly. The first one is it can't be any change. That argues against the materialists or the mind. Anyway, there's change involved. If the Supreme Lord is manifested from material goodness, it's either an illusion. According to the materialists, God is just an illusion. It's just make-believe. According to the Mayavadis, the Supreme is real, but the personality of God is an illusory form of the Supreme. So if God doesn't exist at all, then he must be just an illusion. But the mode of goodness by itself should only show things as they are. You need the tamas and rajas to make distorted perception. And if you extract pure goodness and don't let it be touched by rajas and tamas, then it can't help but show things the way they really are. So Brahman should show, and it shouldn't turn into Bhagavan if you're dealing with pure goodness, according to this argument. And for the Mayavadis, Bhagavan is there, but he's a transformation of Brahman. And to transform, to change, goodness would have to be affected by passion. But we're talking about unmixed goodness that isn't touched by passion. Is that okay? Right. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. We are arguing about the first argument that pure goodness cannot, you know, it can't be mixed with the other modes, but we see it changes, like, because of being mixed with other modes.
Well, it's like if we define pure goodness as unmixed with the other modes, then it can't change.
Yeah, but that conception of, like, the personality of God is...
His body is made of pure goodness.
It's
a statement. We have to interpret. It's stated by Shastra. We have to accept it. We have to interpret it some
way. And what was there because of... What was the point about his being the... How is it connected to God being Saguna Brahman?
Oh, okay. We're trying to explain the personal existence of God, Bhagavan. But there's, the Mayavadis have one idea about Bhagavan, and they're similar ideas. They both say he's illusion. But the Mayavadis, the materialists will say God is just a figment of the imagination, no basis. Mayavadis will say he has a basis, but he's a distorted, he's like milk turned into yogurt, it's not milk anymore. He's been avidya has gotten involved and ruined Brahman and turned it into Bhagavan. So that's a change. And for the materialist, it's just a complete hallucination, an illusion with no basis. It's either an illusion with a basis or an illusion without a basis, Bhagavan.
And how is it connected with goodness being agitated?
Well,
both concepts.
Now this is all predicated on someone assuming that Vishuddha Sattva in the text means material goodness, but material goodness unmixed with the other modes.
This argument.
The verse is saying that Bhagavan's body is produced by that Vishuddha Sattva. But that kind of Vishuddha Sattva, that conception of Vishuddha Sattva, can't do that. Either from the point of view of the materialist or from the point of view of the Mayavadis. Now, from the point of view of the devotees, anyway, there is spiritual goodness. They're not the ones who are going to say that Vishuddha Sattva is just material goodness. But the materialist might say it, and the Mayavadis might say it. But from both of their points of view, that Vishuddha Sattva can't manifest the body of God. Because the body of God either doesn't exist at all, and therefore, goodness is supposed to show things as they are. It's not supposed to show things that aren't there. And it's also not supposed to change pure goodness. And according to the Mayavadis, Saguna Brahman is a transformation by avidya from Nirguna Brahman.
Yeah, but Nirguna Brahman is Nirguna.
Yeah.
How is it connected to the
other? That's the whole problem of Mayavad. Where do the gunas come from?
I'm just trying to understand our argument that
our argument?
We say that Vishuddha Sattva doesn't change, but Bhagavan is changed Nirguna Brahman. But it's kind of a, I think it's like...
No, but our idea is that Brahman is Saguna. When we say, our interpret, you want to know how the Vaishnavas read it?
No. I just want
to... How Jiva Goswami is arguing here?
Because we say Vishuddha Sattva cannot undergo any change, but he says that,
Well, yeah, if you define Vishuddha Sattva in this particular way, then it can't, Vishuddha Sattva can't cause a change. Only you have to have some rajas to cause changes. Just like you can, have a pot of ghee, but the pot of ghee at room temperature isn't going to fry your pakoras. You have to have some fire. You can't digest your food without the fire of digestion. You need rajas, pitta, to do anything. Rajas is always required for any kind of activity or change. So if you leave out the rajas, then your Vishuddha Sattva can't cause a transformation of Brahman into a Nirguna Brahman into Saguna Brahman.
Okay.
Because there can't be any change of any kind. And anyway, that Nirguna Brahman is also an illusion. And also for the Mayavadis, goodness, if it's not mixed with passion, with ignorance, can't cause illusion. Cannot help but show things the way they really are. So the Mayavadis are defeated twice, for both reasons. Is that okay? All right. We'll try 24. I've got some highlighting here, which means it's something I didn't understand, but let's see if we can figure it out. Atta rajoleshe. I already read it. Well, I read half of it, sorry. Okay, let's read the whole commentary again. I read the first paragraph already, but just to reinforce it, I'll read the commentary again. By the laws of material nature, any manifestation of unmixed goodness must be devoid of passion and ignorance. Sattva, if not untouched by rajas, cannot undergo change. And if untouched by tamas, it cannot show things as other than they actually are. Thus, there should be no possibility of illusion being imposed upon it. Therefore, I left out a paragraph, but we read it before. Therefore, the personal form of God cannot be a product of unmixed goodness. Because for the materialist, God is only a hallucination of irrational people. And for the impersonalist, the form of God must be a transformation of the formless original sattva, an appearance of it other than it really is. Things in material existence are sometimes stable, sometimes in a process of change, and sometimes going out of existence. These are the functions of the three modes. Things protected by sattva guna remain the same, because they do not interact with one another to produce change. Avoid change, don't mix with anything else. If you mix with other things, other people, then changes happen. But for sattva to keep things unchanging, they have to keep things separate. That's why it's described as the influence of sattva is indifference. Things don't mess with each other in the mode of goodness. Things protected by sattva guna remain the same because they do not interact with one another to produce change, nor succumb to extinction due to inimical influences. Any interaction will cause a change. Even the modern physicists have something called the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, that you can never tell exactly where an atomic particle is, because you are the scientist trying to observe and measure the exact position at a particular time of a particular atom, but when you look at it, your photons are coming out of your eyes, and those photons could be nudging the atom and making it move somewhere else. So just because you're observing it, that affects a change, and you can never be sure what you're seeing is where it really is. That's uncertainty principle. That any interaction, even just looking at something, can change it. That accords with this explanation that mode of goodness keeps things unchanged by not letting them interact with each other. Now, since they endure for some time, they can be perceived. Okay, if sattva guna wasn't there, then nothing could be perceived, because no sattva, but the rajas and tamas are hanging around. The tamas would come and knock things down, destroy things. They wouldn't exist long enough for anybody to see them. So you need sattva guna to keep things intact long enough for us to be able to perceive anything. Otherwise, we'd have a world of constant change and destruction with no persistence, ruled by just rajas and tamas with no sattva. Then it would be a world of chaos. Nothing would be perceivable. That's actually the Buddhist's conception of existence, that everything is in constant change, and nothing stays the same from one minute to the next, and therefore there are no things. Anyway, fortunately, the real world has sattva guna, and things remain the same long enough for us to perceive something, and I can put my computer on the table, even though the table might collapse, but at least for now it hasn't collapsed yet. It hasn't disintegrated. So there's some persistence, therefore we can make use of things and we can perceive things because there is sattva guna working in this world. The sattva guna keeps things apart. The fire is kept in the kitchen. If the fire came over here, it would burn the table. So that's the effect of sattva guna. Since they endure for some time, they can be perceived, things. Things impelled by rajoguna interact, producing variety and change, the creation of something new. And things overcome by tamoguna dissolve back into what combined to produce them. Okay, things don't really go out of existence, even by tamoguna, but they dissolve. They go back to what they came from. That's what really happens in the material world. If I, Hare Krishna. If I catch on fire, my body burns up to ashes, I'm dead, but my body is still there in the form of the ashes. Nothing is completely annihilated. It just goes back to what it was before. things overcome by tamogun dissolve back into what combined to produce them. This is, in effect, destruction and disappearance. Okay? That's material existence. And if we talked about God being made of some pure goodness, it's unmixed. That kind of goodness couldn't actually produce a body of God. Or any body, any visible form. Passion has to create. Goodness can't create. And goodness can't create, certainly can't create an illusion. Can't create any change, and can't create any wrong perception. Pure goodness. Even if it's material. Okay, we move on. Now we look at, now I'm going over. Is it okay if I go 15 minutes over? We started late, so, but does that mess up the rest of the schedule? Okay, because we don't have all the classes right now anyway, right? Okay. Okay, so I will go on for 15, until a quarter after. Ata rajo le she, tatra mantavye, vishuddha pada vayartyam it yalam, tan mata rajo gata pagottanayeti. If we presume that even a small trace of the mode of passion is found in pure goodness, then the word perfectly pure would lose its meaning. We can simply dismiss, therefore, this theory of those who are so obsessed with the mode of passion. So we argued that if goodness is completely pure, it can't do what it has to do to produce a body of God. So then the other side said, okay, let's allow one drop of rajas. But if we do that, then it's not vishuddha anymore. Then it's specified as vishuddha sattva in the shastra. We can't get away from that. And that destroys your theory. You're not even accepting the given fact that it's supposed to be vishuddha sattva. And he's using a play on words here. Tanmata rajo gata prakatanaya. The others are proposing, let's have a little drop of rajas. And Jiva Goswami says your whole process of thinking is influenced by rajas. You're just full of rajas. Those who are so obsessed with the mode of passion, which makes them think, distorted things. They're thinking about passion, but their thinking is affected by passion also. Okay, now, this part is in blue, which means I'm not sure what it means, but let's see. Or maybe there's some technical problem with it. Pad motora konde tu vaikunta nirupane tasya sattvasya prakritatvam sputam evadarshatam. Yata uktam prakriti vibhuti varnananantaram. Okay, that's simple enough. And the description of Vaikuntha in the Uttarakhanda of the Padma Purana, chapter 91, verses 56 to 58, explicitly shows that this mode of goodness is transcendental to material nature. Okay, now we're back to our position. After discussing the opulences of the material nature, there is a passage which begins, and here's the Sanskrit, evam prakrita rupaya vibhute rupamuttamam tadpad tripad vibhuti rupam tu shrinu buddharanandini. Such is the exalted manifestation of the opulences of material nature. That was described earlier in that chapter. Now, O darling daughter of the mountain, this must be Lord Shiva speaking to his wife, hear about the opulence of the three quarters realm, the tripad vibhuti. Pradana paramavyam nor antare vidajanadi Vedanga sveda janita to yaik prasravita shubha. Between the primeval material nature In the transcendental sky lies the river Viraja. That fair river flows with water born from the perspiration of the Vedic auxiliaries, that's the Vedangas. Beyond its far shore, could you see what that is? You don't have to get involved, but let's just find out what it is. Beyond its far shore, in the spiritual sky, is the eternal supreme abode of the three quarters of existence. Tasya pade paravyomni tripad vibhutam sanatanam amritam shasvatam nityam anantam paramam param shuddha sattvamayam divyam aksharam brahmanak param ityadi. Okay, there's more to it, but it begins with this much. So beyond the Viraja River, which is the outskirts of the material world, there is the, beyond its far shore, the other side of the Viraja River, is the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky is the eternal supreme abode of the three quarters of existence. Undying, unchanging, perpetual, and unlimited, it is comprised of the pure mode of goodness, Vishuddha Sattva, or the word is here, Shuddha Sattva, Mayam. The Tripad Vibhutam, Tripad Bhutam is Shuddha Sattva Mayam, made of pure goodness, spiritual goodness. It is the effulgent, boundless home of the Supreme Truth. So we were talking before of the body of God as Vishuddha, made of Vishuddha Sattva. Now we have a statement about Vaikuntha, the home of the Supreme Lord, also being composed of Vishuddha Sattva. Taretat samaptam prasangikam shuddha sattva vivechanam. With this we finish the side discussion of defining the pure mode of goodness. Okay. Now we should, the commentary hasn't been written for this part. I think that's what the problem is. Where did this digression... Okay, I have two questions. Where did this digression begin? And what discussion was disrupted? What was being talked about before? Let's try to discover that. And we'll stop with that. I don't know. I have to look. How far back does this discussion of Vishuddha Sattva go? I think into the previous file. We open up file 3. Maybe even file 2, but let's try 3 first. Where did it first mention Vishuddha Sattva? Well, 10.1, 10, it's all in file 3. 10.1 is at the beginning of file 3. First verse, well, the first verse doesn't mention Sattva. No, the second verse. In the second verse, okay, but what is the discussion of the second verse? Okay, let me go through it. Pravartite Yatra, this is 10.6. So in 10.6, we first have a discussion of the second verse. Yat sattvam, tadapi, okay, it's not regular sattva, but something else, kintu anyadeva. That's in 10.6. No, I'm looking first for where does it actually begin? And this is maybe not where the digression begins. Yeah, 10.7 is the beginning of the specific discussion of, you know, up to 10.6, we were analyzing the verses describing Brahma's vision of Vaikuntha. We got to the second verse, we got to the mention of sattva, not where there's no rajas and tamas, and no material sattva. From that point, we have begin our digression into the discussion of that there is such a thing as spiritual sattva and what it is. That begins in 10.7. Yeah. Same three verses that I'm quoting here in the commentary? Let me see. Or is Jiva Goswami quoting them again? 10:24. Is it 24 or 25? So Jiva Goswami quotes them again. Okay, that's my question. I have it highlighted because I think it's something funny going on in the manuscript. I don't think Jiva Goswami actually said it twice. The manuscripts are mixed up. That this duplicate part comes in. That was my doubt. So I have to trace that out looking at different manuscripts. Maybe he said it twice, but it doesn't seem necessary. He said it back in 10:7. Why quote the three verses again? In fact, the sentence before the three verses is repeated. The sentence Padmottara Kande to Vaikuntha Nirupane, that old sentence, is there in 10:7. Padmottara Kande to Vaikuntha Nirupane, same exact sentence. So somebody's manuscript got this wrong. No reason to say that sentence twice and then quote the three verses over again. I have to decide which one, the first, the 10:7 or the 10:24, is the real original. Okay, that's where the digression started, and what we interrupted was the analysis of this long passage that we have cited at the beginning of 10:1 of 10 in the beginning of file 3, of a description of Brahma's vision. I presume now that we're done with the digression and we've settled the question of Vishuddhisattva, now we'll go back to continuing, I guess, with the explaining the rest of that verse 2 and then going on to the other verses. Yes? And that will go on, I think, until the end of file 4, the rest of this analysis. We're still in Anuchet 10. Is that... Am I wrong? Okay. Well, that you have to see at the beginning of file 3. There's some in 10:1, but there's more after that also. I think it's 9 verses altogether. Okay, we're going to stop there. So thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavat Sandarbha Ki Jai.